A little while back, some of you on Twitter were marvelling at the idea that little pots of herring might replace little pots of jam in the nation's cupboards. But there was really nothing to worry about, and jam in the shape of raspberry and chocolate preserve or, oh my darling, clementine marmalade is fighting its corner. Teresa Story of artisan preserve company The Green Apron, who makes both of those little pots, met with Culturefile's Caroline Hennessy, all the while diligently stirring her most recent batch of Seville orange marmalade.
That's like a proper case of oranges.
Yeah, we get one case a year, and that does us about 12 batches, which is about as much as anybody wants to buy.
They're trying to escape.
Yeah, and I know this is.
So these are
Seville sour oranges. So they're absolutely filled with seeds, and they're, if you scrape the skin, they're so aromatic.
I can see the zest flying out of the skin when you scrape it.
And all the oils flying. So, but they're absolutely filled with pith, so you can't do anything with them except make lots and lots of marmalade. So I'll mix... How I make marmalade is we'll take 2 lemons and enough of these to make 3 pounds. And then we'll whiz them in the machine and mix them with water and boil them until they're mushy. And then add the sugar. At this time of the year, we're making Seville orange because the Seville oranges are in. They're only in for January. So we'll make plain Seville, and then we'll make a whiskey Seville. And so it's going to have Bushmills or Jameson, and then we'll have a little bit of mixed spice through it because that fakes the taste of whiskey and enhances it a little bit. So we'll also make gingerbread marmalade with it, so that's got chunks of crystallized ginger, powdered ginger, and it has treacle through it. I love that, and we won a bunch of awards for that. That's our 3 Seville ones. When the Sevilles run out, we do 3 fruits, and that's oranges, grapefruits, and lemons. They're all made to the same general recipe. You take 3 pounds of citrus, 6 pints of water, and 6 pounds of sugar, and then add your fiddly fancy bits.
So it's basically, it's a proportion thing. So you get the proportions right and then there's your marmalade.
Yeah. But everything except Seville's, I would add 4 lemons and then bring it up to 3 pounds. So we make clementine marmalade the same way. We would make blood orange marmalade the same way. That'll be next month's job, is making the blood orange marmalade, because they usually come out mid-February, end of February.
You know, for years jam making was seen as a real retro activity. People just didn't make jam. They went to the shop and they bought jam. And, you know, why would you need to make it at home?
Yeah, and you didn't make... If you needed to make it at home, obviously you were too poor to afford shop jam. It's the same way with baking. You know, if you baked stuff, you were obviously too poor. I think the only people who kept up the tradition were ICA ladies. So, and my mom was an ICA lady, so she taught me. Right. We've cooked it long enough so that the peel is now smushing between my fingers, but there's still a tiny bit of bite left, like al dente pasta. So now I'm going to add 6 pounds of sugar. I'm just using normal white granulated sugar. I don't like to use jam sugar because I think it slightly affects the flavor, and it also makes it set faster before it's actually reached setting point, so it may ferment in the jar.
And I suppose nowadays as well, like, there's this whole punk domestic movement. It's like, you can do it yourself. And, you know, try and do it yourself and then go off and spend the money on some nice stuff that somebody else has made, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's, if you do make it yourself, you actually also appreciate what other people do.
You do, and you don't go, how much for a pot of jam? What? How much for this? Because you know how much effort went into it. Yeah, now it's starting to boil like a crazy.
The sound of the bubbles has changed.
Yeah.
Again.
Much bigger.
These are the things, Tracy, that, you know, it's very hard to read about it in a book or to describe to somebody what it is. It's like, it's something that was passed on from, definitely from mother to daughter, because
yes.
I don't remember any boys being in the kitchen when we were making jams as kids.
Now, I think maybe we just need to video everything now and put it up, because how else are you going to say, and it wrinkles like this, and look at this bubble. You know, a million pictures doesn't give you the almost tactileness. Maybe we need a connect, a we connect kind of thing going on. Right, all done. We've got 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21 jars out of that. 21 half-pound jars.
You're sitting here and you've got your jars lined up in front of you, and they do look beautiful. They're glowing with light from inside. Is that a real sense of satisfaction?
I love having stuff made for my time. You know, it's like, look at that. I did something tangible. Yeah. And I love how yummy they are. No, I do like this job. It's you have great satisfaction. You know that something you made, people want to buy, and that you're good at it. So that's, I am good at it.
Teresa's story there, and you'll find the Green Apron every Saturday at the Milk Market in Limerick City or online at greenapron.ie. Go quickly and you might get to enjoy the unique multimedia experience of tasting the very marmalade you heard Teresa stirring there.